The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Thank you for those of you that came on the Zoom Bible study last Wednesday. I don't think it was that many of you, but those of you that did come on, you got an introduction provided to you on the first epistle of John, and we were able to plow through with an exposition of the first 10 verses, well, the 10 verses in the first epistle, chapter 1 of the first epistle of John. And this week, we'll be looking at chapter 2. And I hope you'll join with us. There's a lot for all of us to learn. Joshua, I hope you got your reading glasses on. We're going to read a little bit today. Is that all right? All right, Joshua chapter 3. All right, let's look at verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall you set out from your place and go after it. Verse 6, then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people, so they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Verse 8, you shall command the priests who shall bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and shall stand as a heap. Verse 15. And those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. That the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Araba, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. In other words, the people crossed over into the promised land. I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning about a crisis of faith. A crisis of faith. God parted the Red Sea to deliver his people out of Egypt. And here in Joshua 3, chapter 3, we see how God parted the River Jordan to lead his people into the land of Canaan, the promised land, that land that flowed with milk and honey. So Moses, the shepherd, had died, and God has raised up Joshua, the soldier, to lead his people to the promised land. The time had come to cross the Jordan, but the Jordan was flooded. The flooded waters of Jordan was the only thing that stood between the people of God and the promised land. This presented a crisis of faith. What is a crisis? What is a crisis? You face crises in your life. I know I've had my share. But what is a crisis? A crisis is a turning point. For better or worse, in a decisive or critical moment. And the question is, what will you decide in a crisis? What will you do in a crisis? Will you believe what God said? Or will you lean to your understanding? Or will you allow your circumstances to speak to you louder than the voice of God himself? When you have a promise from God, when you have the word of the Lord, we must begin to step out on that word, regardless of the circumstances. We can't allow our flooded rivers of our life cause us to say, I'm not going to move, or I'm going to turn back, or maybe God meant something else. No, God meant exactly what he said. He promised the Israelites the land of Canaan. And then in the land of Canaan was where Israelites had to go to fulfill that promise and be blessed of the Lord. You know, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 20th verse tells us that all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All of God's promises are yes and yes. They're real and they're definite. So God doesn't make empty promises. God doesn't make vain promises. All the promises of God in Christ, they are yes. Yes. If God promised it, the answer is yes. If God said it, the answer is amen to that. If God said it, God's going to bring the manifestation of that promise. He's going to bring it to manifestation through you and the glory of God by you. God had made Israel a promise. And he wasn't going to allow the flooded waters of Jordan to negate that promise. He wasn't going to allow circumstances to make him a liar. All he needed was for the people of God to believe him in that moment of crisis. They had a crisis of faith. But there's a secret to crossing over into the promised land. And God shows us the secret right here in Joshua chapter 3. There is a secret. There's a secret that God shared with Joshua about how Israel could cross over to Canaan. Now, Canaan land is really the promised land. Canaan speaks of heavenly places in Christ. It speaks of spiritual blessing. It's a place of blessing. But Canaan also speaks of spiritual warfare. When Israel would cross the Jordan, then they would engage in warfare against all the heathen nations that God promised that the Israelites would destroy. Every one of us have a Canaan land. Now, God is not leading us to a promised land, but he's certainly leading us to a land of promises. Glory to God. And the word of God is filled with promises that God has made to us. That's our Canaan land. The word of God is our spiritual Canaan land. And every promise, again, God is saying yes and amen by the glory of God through us. So what is the secret to entering your Canaan land? What is the secret to entering your promised land? There are two secrets. First of all, you got to cross the Jordan. Secondly, you got to follow the ark. Now, the Jordan was a major river in Palestine. But Israel had to cross this Jordan to get into the place of their promises. the fulfillment of those promises. Jordan speaks to us loudly today. Spiritually speaking, what is Jordan saying to us? Jordan is saying to us, you got to deny yourself in the waters of baptism. You got to deny yourself in the water of Holy Ghost baptism. Jordan says to us, yes, you can cross over your circumstances and problems in life. Jordan says to us, yes, you can conquer spiritual death. You can conquer spiritual death and you can defeat the old man and his deeds. Paul said to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God and the Son of God who gave his love for me. So this is what the Jordan speaks of. You gotta cross this river. And when you cross this river, you're dying to yourself. And everything that's not of God, you're dying to it. That's the secret to entering your promised land. Some of us have been in the Lord for many, many years. And we still haven't seen or received a manifestation of some of the promises that we claim. We haven't seen a manifestation of the word of God that we say we stand on. Is it because you haven't crossed your Jordan? Is it because you haven't died to self? Is it because of your problems, your circumstances? You allow those things to become obstacles between you and the blessing of God. But there is a secret to getting into your land of promises. After you cross the Jordan, in fact, you're not going to cross the Jordan unless you follow the ark. The ark is the second part of the secret. And the ark speaks of the presence and the power of God. It speaks of the power and the presence of God. The ark is the key to a victorious life in Christ Jesus. Now, we read several verses here in chapter 3 of Joshua. And what God is doing is giving Joshua instructions to give the people of God, the priests, as well as the people, he's given them instructions to cross over into that land that flows with milk and honey. And I'm telling you, if we're going to cross over, if we're going to get there and enjoy the blessings of God, we got to follow the instructions. For the best results, you've heard the saying, for the best results, follow the instructions. Is that right? You follow the instructions no matter what. Stop making excuses. You follow the instructions. What did God say? Stop making excuses. Everybody can come up with an excuse, but what did God say? You act on what God said. Regardless of the overflowing floodwaters of your Jordan, you act on what God has said. So Joshua, and how many know that Joshua is the same as Jesus? The name Joshua in the Old Testament is identical to the same name Jesus in the New Testament. Both names mean salvation is of the Lord. Joshua was a type of Christ. So what did Joshua do? He commanded the people to follow the priests. Please don't miss this. He commanded the people to follow the priests as far as they carried the ark, but no further. No further. Let me say it again. We are to follow the priests who are carrying the ark as far as they carry the ark, but no further. What is God saying to us through this? We follow ministry. We follow ministry. apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We follow ministers or the ministry as far as that ministry continues to uphold and exemplify the ark of God. When they stop exemplifying the ark of God, you have no obligations to go beyond that. I know Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey them. They have the rule of you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable to you. But you're not obligated to obey the ministry that's not carrying the ark. You're not obligated to obey or submit to the ministry that's not carrying the ark. There's a lot of ministers. They begin carrying the ark, and all of a sudden, they lay the ark down at some point on their journey. And there's some that have never picked up the ark. And yet people are following them. And here in Joshua, we see you have no obligation to follow them no further than they carry the ark. This is what God commanded the people in Joshua chapter 3. Get up from the place you are and go after the ark. But don't go any further. Don't go any further. Some sad stuff that goes on in churches. And for the life of me, I can't understand why people sit up and take the abuse they do to be taken advantage of. And where is the power and the presence of God? Where's God in any of it? And you're not obligated. You're not obligated to follow the priest no further than they carry the ark. Amen? Glory to God. Now, like the priest had to obey God, and they had to take that first step. I want you to understand what's happening here. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and they've come so close, but they're yet so far because of this obstacle in their way called the Jordan River. Its banks were overflowing. And so the test was, are you going to believe God or are you going to believe your circumstances? Everybody has faced a crisis. Those of you that are married, you probably had a crisis when you decided you're going to get married. And hopefully you got married because God told you to get married. And regardless of any of the circumstances, listen, when I got married to my wife, I married my wife because I believe with all my heart God says, that's your wife, marry her. But I didn't have a job at that time. I was a student. That was a crisis of faith for me. And I always believed that. And I always believed that if I obey God, he will surely bring it to pass as he promised. I had a young man in my church many years ago, and he wanted to marry this sister in the church. And he had just been laid off from his job. He had a job working with the railroads. Been laid off from his job, and it didn't look like they were ever going to call him back. And he felt so strongly that this was his wife. They wanted to get married. They were in love with one another. And he said, but Pastor, I don't know if I can do it right now. And here's what I said to him. I said, if you really believe this in your heart, then step out by faith and give God a reason to bring it all to pass. It's a true story. Young man took my advice. He got married. He had the wedding, got married. And it wasn't, I don't think 2 weeks went by that the major electrical power company in this area, in that area, called him. And he's probably still there if he hadn't already retired. And he was doing so much better financially than he was doing before he got laid off with the railroads. And see, the easy thing to do was say, no, we can't get married. Maybe we can shack, or maybe we can just play house, but we can't get married right now because we don't have the economics. We don't have the finances. What do you think would have happened if the priest had not taken the first step? What do you think would have happened had the priest said, Joshua, are you crazy? You want us to carry the ark into the waters of the Jordan. You want us to dip our feet in the edge of the water, then stand in the water, and it's flooded too? Had the priest disobeyed, had the priest not believed in this moment of crisis, this crisis of faith, Israel never would have crossed over. What about leaning to your own understanding? The priest didn't say, no, look, why don't we try to build some rafts and cross over that way? Why don't we look for boats and cross over that way? This is what we do all the time. We have the word of God, and God has spoken to our hearts, and then we see our circumstances staring up at us, and then we try to figure it out. That's not what God has said. That's your crisis of faith. Just take the first step and see what God will do. Just take that first step. Just step in the water. The instructions are very simple. Number one, carry the ark. Number two, stick your feet in the water. And number three, after you stick your feet in the water, then stand in the water and watch what God will do. These were the instructions that God gave to Israel through Joshua. Very simple. Carry the ark, dip your feet in the water, then just stand in the water. Now, the purpose of dipping their feet in the water wasn't to determine the temperature of the water. You know how some of us do when we go to the beach, or we're around a swimming pool, we stick our foot in just to see if the water's cold or hot. No, that wasn't the purpose here. This was about faith. Faith. You see, we walk by faith, is that right? And not by sight. And for the best result, you follow the instructions. Huh? You follow the instructions. You don't be afraid. Don't lean to your own understanding. God doesn't make mistakes. If he tells you you're going to cross over the Jordan, you're crossing over your Jordan. Doesn't matter if the Jordan's flooded or not. But the Jordan was flooded. Here's what we see. All of us have rivers in our lives. We all do. We have rivers, and some of the rivers are in our lives are really flooded. But what do? You got to take that first step. You can't go into retreat. You got to move forward, take that first step. Don't tell me you believe in God for healing if you're not willing to get out of bed. That's your first step. Don't tell me you believe in God for finances and you refuse to sow a seed. That's your first step. Don't tell me you're looking for a job, but you refuse to put an application in somewhere. You refuse to make some phone calls. You refuse to knock on some doors. Don't tell me you believe in God for a job. You got to take the first step. That's all God wants from us. God wants from us a show of faith in the face of our crisis. And so the ark was carried by the priests. And they got to the Jordan, and the Jordan was overflowed. And the priests, they stuck their feet in the edge of the water. That's all they did. They stuck their feet in the edge of the water. And God had said, you got to stand in it. Your soles of the feet stand in the water. But all they did was stuck their feet in the water. Why? Because they had every intention of believing God and obeying God. In the kingdom of God, God looks upon the heart. You know, man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And I'm telling you, your intent in your heart is equivalent to performance. And God knows if your heart is filled with faith or not. He knows if your heart has faith or doesn't have doubt and fear in it. But all these priests did was just stuck their foot in the water. Then the waters begin to part before they ever got to stand in it. But yet God has said, you got to stand in it. But they did stand in it after God cut the water off from upstream. It is believed there was a landslide. There was a landslide that happened upstream that caused the waters of the Jordan to be dammed up. And Israel was able to cross over to their Jordan, to cross over their Jordan into Canaan land on dry ground. Who could have ever figured that out? Who could have ever, as we would say, thunk it like that? But I'm telling you, God knows the end before the beginning. So if you have a promise you're standing on, take the first step. You may not see your way clear, but God never said you would see your way clear. He says, walk by faith and not by sight. Just take the first step. In every crisis of faith, you take the first step if you want to see God turn your situation around. Now, had the priest not taken that first step, they wouldn't have seen a God-given solution for their problem, their crisis. Is that right? What is the obstacle standing in front of you? What is the river? This is the truth, beloved. God will provide no solution for you until you step out on faith. There'd be no solution for you. You say, well, I'm waiting on God. No, God waiting on you. He's already done the work. He's already done the work. Huh? So the priest, I'm almost through, but the feet of the priests that carried the ark, those priests that bore the ark, God specifically said, your feet, the soles of your feet, are to rest in the Jordan. What is God saying to us to that? What is God saying? When God says the soles of your feet needs to rest in your Jordan, here's what I believe God is saying. God is saying to us, settle down. Settle down. Settle down and rest in the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the works have already been done before the foundation of the world, and all we need to do is settle down.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.